I invite you to stand for the reading of the Gospel, Mark, the 10th chapter, verses 17 through 31. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. If you know the commandments, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud, honor your father and your mother." He said to him, "But teacher, I have kept all of these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "Then you lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give your money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we've left everything and followed you." And Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, Jesus was preparing for his final journey to Jerusalem. But for several weeks or maybe even months, he and his disciples had been living in the region of Perea. This was a small area just east of the Jordan. You've heard of it before. Whenever the scriptures say that Jesus went to the other side, well, that's where he went. It was small, it was not densely populated. It was a place that he would go to so that he could begin to refocus his life, so he could have some time away from the crowds and build back up his strength so he could go again. But we know that, well, probably for several reasons, this time, when he went to the other side, well, it didn't happen like it normally did. Remember? He had no sooner gotten to wherever it was that he was staying than a group of mothers came with children to be blessed. And the disciples tried to send him away because Jesus was tired, and Jesus got angry and said, "Let them come to me. For to them belongs the kingdom of heaven." Now, I can only guess that things went downhill from there. After he blessed the children, I really don't think he got any rest. I think he probably ended up having to spend the rest of his time there meeting crowds and listening to their needs and trying to tell them some truth that God had for them. And the reason I believe this is because, you see, today's scripture comes right after the blessing of the children. says that Jesus is getting ready to leave. And the young man runs up to him, kneels at his feet, and says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, something had to have sparked the question. And I think Jesus' preaching was a good guess. I mean, here is a young man who has made a place for himself in the world. It appears as though he has done everything right. And yet when he finds out that Jesus is leaving, he runs up to him and he says, "Please tell me, am I at least on the right track? If I continue on, will I inherit the kingdom of God?" The writer of Mark, he doesn't want us to miss the importance of that question, because he goes on to tell us that this was a decent person, law-abiding, that his only goal in life was to keep the commandments and the law. And Jesus understood all of this. Because remember, Mark tells us that Jesus looked at him and loved him. I mean, this was a decent person. Someone that we would all welcome into our lives. And so the question is, why did Jesus treat him so harshly? He asks a question, and it comes from his heart. What must I do to inherit eternal life? It's a question that I think most of us have asked ourselves, right? How good do I have to be? How can I be assured that I'm going to eventually make it to heaven? But Jesus looks at him and says, "First, how dare you call me good? No one is good but God. And then he says, "So sell everything you have, give it to the poor, then come and follow me." Christians, do you know that those words would have struck fear in the heart of any good rabbi or priest? Sell all you possess. Do you know that this man was so wealthy that he would have been paying a very good price in temple tax? That money, it not only kept the temple open with all of its glory and paid the priests, that money was given away to keep the widows and the orphans. This man was doing more than his fair share. He was paying the temple tax. He was helping in his local synagogue. He was a good man who followed the law. One-tenth right off the top. And more. Because the tenth was his tithe. The other was his offering. He was a good man. He wasn't hoarding his wealth. Trust me, no good rabbi wanted to lose his donations. And how many widows counted on his generosity. That's why the disciples were so taken back by Jesus' position. Remember, it says they were astounded by what he said? If he had said it to a greedy person, it would have been one thing. But he didn't. He said it to a good man whom he loved. So is Jesus really all that repulsed by this man's wealth? He questioned it. And there's a really good sermon in there for most of us. And we've all heard it. And I hope we've all wrestled with it. But I think there was a second reason that Jesus was so harsh with the man. It was because he saw so much potential in him. He had already come so far. He had proven that he was a disciplined person who loved God. And so now all he had to do was take the next step on his faith journey. He had to learn that it wasn't about him. He had to be willing to put all of his faith, all of his trust in God. You know, the young man, I think we're all like him. We try to be good. We try to follow the commandments. We try to make God a priority in our lives. But what Jesus told him and what he's trying to tell us is that we can never be so good, so righteous, so holy, so obedient as to be able to save ourselves. And if our primary concern is about ourselves, our success, our reputation, our salvation, then Jesus says we've missed the point. To be truly successful, to be certain that we're saved, then we have to take the focus away from ourselves and turn it onto God and our neighbors. Regrettably, if we take today's gospel lesson seriously, then what we learn is the only way we can accomplish this is if, at least in the eyes of society, we choose to lose. Because losers are those who don't end up with the most toys. Losers are those who choose to serve in place of acquire. Losers are those that turn to others and say, your need at this time is more important than mine. When we choose to follow Jesus, when we choose to be all that we can be, then sharing and caring are two of the most important goals we can set for ourselves. In his book, When All You've Ever Wanted Is Not Enough, Rabbi Harold Kushner notes that regardless of what others want us to be, I quote, our souls are not hungry for fame or for comfort, wealth, or power. Those rewards create almost as many problems as they solve. But what our souls are hungry for, they're hungry for meaning, for the sense that we have figured out how to live so that our lives matter, so that the world will at least be a little different for our having passed through it. Friends, if you've ever looked around and wondered if the stress of scrambling to the top is worth it, if you've ever wondered why you own so much and have so many friends and yet still feel more than a little restless in your soul, then I want you to consider this. Could it be that Christ is looking at you today and seeing potential in you that you don't see in yourself? Could it be that he's saying, why don't you just give up and follow me? We don't know what happened to the man in today's gospel lesson. He turned and he walked away from Jesus. And he just faded into history because he couldn't or he wouldn't take the next step on his faith journey. He couldn't make that total commitment to God. Jesus understood that. And he understands that most of us are holding back too. So what is it that is keeping you from being totally committed to God? Be honest. Tell him. Because then, and only then, will you be able to take that final step to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And if you choose to make that commitment, to make that final step, I can promise you that you will find a joy that is beyond compare. A joy that the world could never offer you. To God be the glory, and all God's children say, Amen. Amen. I invite you to stand.